This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Rad, boys and girls, on a week that's scaring the pants off of me at the moment. I have no idea where this is going to go. This is your weekly sideways look at the news from the lovely Tatras Mountain regions of Eastern Slovakia, in the town of Poprad. That's what we call the show, Postcard from Poprad. I'm Eric Wiltshire, and I'm going to try and keep this lot in order, I think. Not sure, but I'm going to do my best. Over on the zit of the nose of Europe, as always, it is none other than Lee Banks.
I love you, Rachel.
Oh, shut up.
Yes, I do.
I'm going to fade you out. Rachel. I'm going to fade you out. I'm going to fade you out.
Hello, everybody, it's me!
It's him. Down in the doggy doo-doo land of Europe, it's none other than co-founder of the Consumer Action Group, Mark Gander.
Yeah, hello there, everybody. It's still gay Grey Perry, and it's still doggy doo-doo land, there we are. Very cold.
Is it really?
It's freezing.
What do you mean by cold?
I mean, it may not be cold by your lights, but believe me, it is cold. I've just taken...
Are we talking minus 15?
No, we're talking one degree.
It's hot.
We're talking minus 3 here.
It's hot. Get your bikinis out, or your mankinis, knowing you two. Down in Queensland, under the other side of the world, with a big hole through the middle of it, joining us up on two cans and a piece of wet string, it's Rachel.
Yay!
G'day. Rachel, tell us about yourself.
I'm 5'1", and I enjoy water sports.
Yes.
And actually, I'm the Queensland correspondent for Bondi Tunes.
That's the one, isn't it?
Donovan.
Our sister organisation, as it were.
Can I just say that I am the UK correspondent for the same radio station?
Can I read
Radio Universe.
Yeah, and can I say I'm the Slovak version as well, just if you want to show off. Anyway, let's say hi to the guys. Hang on a minute. Let's say hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, and, of course, you lovely folks on RTI and Audio Boo, and wherever else you happen to be listening, God knows where and how, and why, or, well, why is probably the optive word, actually. Hang on, I just had a bright idea. Before we get started proper,
yeah,
I thought we'd just have a little bit of fun.
Oh, fun? Go on then.
There's no word for fun in French. Did you know that?
Is there not? Is that Henry?
Not since Mark's move there, no.
I'll tell you there's no word for fun.
Henry!
The closest they get is amusing. Amusing.
I can't get a word in here, obviously.
No. Oh, bloody Nora, it's Henry.
Who said that? How many people are there here?
Four now for a minute. Just for the...
It's near
Christmas.
I just heard somebody then.
Right, Mark, can I introduce you to Henry?
You can.
Henry.
I've got a vacuum cleaner called Henry, Little Henry.
Thank you for that, Mark. I really appreciate
that.
Right. I believe there's a chocolate bar called Henry in the United States.
Is there?
I'll go with that. Right, Henry, you know Lee, you know Rach, you know me. Mark is the co-founder of the Consumer Action Group, which is the people that beat up bad companies in the UK.
That sounds like a lovely occupation, Mark.
Well, it's very exciting. Hello, Henry. I'm very sorry about the vacuum cleaner crash.
That's okay.
Is that all right?
You can buy me a beer.
All right. Well, being we've got a music thing to start things off, are you going to stay here for a minute, Henry?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Where are you, Henry, by the way?
I'm in Sydney in Australia, Bondi Beach.
All right.
We're very international today. Pioneering jazz pianist and composer Dave Brubeck has died at the age of 91, which means there's plenty of time for me then. Most famously remembered for what, boys and girls?
Dave Brubeck is famously remembered for, not Dave Brubeck.
Oh, is that right?
Like something you have for breakfast.
Oh, right. Well, what's he famously remembered for then?
For being
playing the piano.
Jazz pianist and a composer. He wrote songs. He was really famous.
I give up.
I just can't remember anything he wrote now.
Henry?
He wrote this. I know what he wrote. He wrote...
Go on, then.
Copyright.
I love you, Rachel. Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, come off of it. Oh, my. It was... Thank you, Mark. Go on, Mark. Keep going. Take five, of course, which was a hit for years and donkey's years, and was actually recorded in the 1950s.
Can I ask you, did he actually write it? Or I've got a feeling that he didn't write it, and he simply, it's his playing that rather brought it to fame. Is that right?
I don't know. I thought he wrote it.
Gentlemen.
What? Don't know, Henry Google.
I am, actually.
Is that your surname? Wow.
Henry Google, that's a lovely name to have.
I'll tell you what, guys, working with Rachel so closely on Bondi Tunes, she actually knows what I'm doing without any video being on.
That's too much, Henry, too much information, too much information.
We never turn the video on Skype, trust me, man.
Thank God for that.
No, we don't, because that would only lead to mess.
That would, yes. I could tell you a funny story about that, actually.
What?
Okay. What?
Well, when Skype was very embryonic...
Oh, I know this story.
Thank
Eric.
You.
This is disgusting.
It's not. It's not.
Is it? Well, it depends how you look at it, and you were looking at it.
I was looking at it, and it's probably the only time, boys and girls, I've ever been lost for words on the radio. And I have to say, I was going, my mouth was moving, but nothing was coming out, which is not very good on radio. It doesn't work very well. So I've said to my lovely audience one Wednesday night, we have got Skype in the studio. If there's anybody out there that would like to have a little try of it, and you've got Skype and a laptop or whatever, here's the address, blah, 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 and we can have a little chat on Skype, you see. So the Skype rings after about a minute, because there wasn't many people on it in those days, and up comes the video version of Skype. And there's young ladies laying there talking to me. And she is covered up by a quilt, which I think is probably a good idea. Anyway, we then finish the conversation, and she says, you could see her saying, are we still on air? To which I replied to her on the talkback, no, you're not. She said, oh, goody, I need to go for a wee. So she promptly gets up.
Which is not a video game.
No, and she forgets about the fact that she's not wearing anything, and the quilt disappears. At which point I'm supposed to be introducing a track because I've just had a jingle going out and no words came out of my mouth at all.
Oh, that is terrible. That is terrible. And we know who the young lady in question is as well, don't we, Mr. Eric?
We do not say because we're too gallant.
Absolutely full of gallants.
Yes.
Anyway,
right.
Can we now return to our homage to David Brubeck instead of talking about your nefarious sexual exploits?
Well, you do know... I am the self-appointed sex therapist of South East Slovakia.
There's a lot of sex in that. S's in that, I mean.
Exactly. Especially with my teeth. So
say
come on.
That 10 times really fast.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Henry Google,
no,
have we got
don't
an answer?
What the end products will be.
California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and First Lady Maria Shriver announced on May 28, 2008, that Brubeck would be inducted into the California Hall of Fame, according to Wikipedia. That's my little bit.
Well, so did he write Take Five or not?
Excuse me, really?
Who does that Henry think he is?
Google.
Who asked you to contribute?
That was about as useful as a chocolate fire guard, Mr. Henry Google.
Well, I can tell you what, he's got up at the pearly gates now.
Yeah.
The pearly gates now, and St. Peter is actually asking him, did you write Take Five or not?
Yeah, just saying. We've just been listening to that postcard from Pop Rap, that Henry Google song.
And we don't know the answer either.
Marvellous.
The problem is, guys, is that he never did anything bad.
He might have done something. I bet he got drunk.
Well, probably. Anyway, so we give up. Over to you, boys and girls in the audience. Somebody let us know if Dave Brubeck actually wrote Take Five whilst we move on. Dame Elizabeth Murdoch from... down in Australia. She was 103 years young when she died and was mummy to the media Rupert Murdoch. Sadly, she's died after breaking her leg in a fall when she was admitted to hospital. If I remember rightly, Mr. Murdoch Sr. and mummy were very close.
Well, they were. It was a lovely relationship. Actually, I'm a bit disturbed, and people who know me know that that's probably true 90% of the time, but I'm disturbed particularly about this story because all over Facebook there's been some fairly nasty remarks today about her. in light of the fact that her son's a bit of a scoundrel.
Yes.
But she actually has come out publicly on several occasions saying that his newspapers are garbage and she doesn't support that at all. And she's an excellent patron of the arts. And we needed a patron of the arts in Australia because the government doesn't give us any money for the arts.
No, not another one.
That's because you haven't got any art.
Oh, hang on there.
That was slightly harsh.
Yes, I mean, steady on there.
I'm sorry.
Well, we are going to go to some Australian art in a moment.
I'm sure they've got lots of art there. I mean, there's all the Aboriginal art, the First Nations art, that's just to begin with. I mean, that's all pretty splendid. I don't know what they've got in terms
that's
of sort
just
of
current graffiti.
Contemporary art, but it would be interesting to know, actually,
there's
I have to say.
There's Whiteley and there's Whiteley and Prohart and all those fellas.
Is it?
Exactly, and that's it, isn't it? Out of a country that's nearly twice the size of the world.
Oh,
those are,
dear.
You know, Men at Work and those two. That's
Oh dear!
Yeah,
big trouble today, boys and girls. I'm surrounded by lovey arty people.
Guys, I've got an update here.
Oh, good.
Take Five is a jazz piece written by Paul Desmond and performed by the Dave Brubeck Quartet on their 1959 album Time Out.
Eureka.
There you go.
The reason it took so long to get through to here, boys and girls, is the time delay between us and Bondi Beach. So anyway, poor Dame Elizabeth's up there. Well, she's probably enjoying Dave Brubeck playing to her then.
I know, well, that's it, isn't it?
Absolutely. Talking of the culture and art of Australia as we weren't, it moves us swiftly on to that lovely lady, the Duchess of Cambridge, who's been taken into hospital, and some plonkers at a radio station. We will give you a little clip of it. Everybody shush for a minute. This is the quality of the voice of the lady pretending to be the Queen. No, it's not, is it? I mean, you just can't believe that was the Queen. But anyway, these pranksters down in Aussie land, they phoned up the hospital and only got through because some stupid nurse put them through.
Absolutely.
I'm furious about this.
What?
I'm furious.
Why? But
The network in question is the network I used to work for.
Today FM.
I didn't work Austereo. For them specifically, but Austereo is the national network that owns them. Mm. And they are absolutely notorious for this sort of stuff. Right. And I'm furious. It's just in the most poor taste. And, yes, I disassociate myself from anything to do with these people. They're a bunch of plonkers.
Correct.
Oh, it was hilarious.
Oh my God!
It was great, and yes, I mean, I feel very sorry for the nurse. I hope that she hasn't sort of, you know, been chastised, I'll say, too much for it. But it was pretty funny, and it introduces a bit of humour into it. And I understand that Charles thought it was pretty funny as well. But I think that's great. Actually, I think it humanises the royalty.
Really?
Sorry. Someone said in the media that the only people not laughing at this are the British.
It does actually have quite a serious.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Look out.
I agree.
It does. The simple fact is, there you have the next Queen of Britain giving birth to another one who will ultimately possibly get on the throne of Britain.
Mm.
And the protection that's there for him, the security, has failed yet again, only in a minor way. But in fact, nobody was monitoring the phone calls of what was going into that hospital, which potentially could have created some sort of danger. I think, like Mark says, this is actually quite a funny story, and most people have taken it as quite funny, and I like the audaciousness of the people who made... That's because I'm a big boy. Who made the calls, right? And... Also, I think I admire the audaciousness of the newspapers that have gone ahead and published a story saying, why are we abandoning our royals in these dangerous circumstances?
Well, that's true. They did come out of it very well. In which case, Rach, has anybody ever got their own back on these Herberts?
Well, to a certain degree. There's a certain commentator who's very, very highly paid and very... not very well thought of, and he's notorious for doing things like this. And he was also a judge on what's that, Australia's Got No Talent or something or other.
Oh, you got the same program as England.
Yeah, we stole it from you.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we don't have any original ideas here.
I got in trouble before.
But this guy has does really tasteless things, and he gets fined, and he gets this, and he gets that. But nobody ever suffers any real consequences because people listen, and you know, listeners are dollars.
Yeah,
we're talking about Carl Sanderlands, of course, on the Today FM. He does breakfast show. Get this, he does it live from Los Angeles, where it's like 11 o'clock at night. He's doing a breakfast show broadcasting live into Sydney. Yeah, unbelievable stuff.
So he's well tuned into the local community then.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
And all the socioeconomic groups. The great, he's got a great big gold microphone. He's horrible.
Oh, is he? So why has anybody stitched him up then?
Because he's sensationalist and people listen to him and they like the fact that he's shocking, and it's a bit of a Howard Stern situation.
A bit like Lee then, really.
Except Howard Stern has a little more class and style, I have to say.
That's exactly right. Let's move on then, boys and girls, because we're just going to go, we don't care.
Can I just say something before we do?
Well, you're going to anyway, so what's the point of asking me?
Well, because otherwise you might have just talked over me. It's dead simple, right? The other thing that the journalists at this radio station did, as despicable as it is, very good journalistic practice, if I may say so.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I've said it.
Well, that was God. We would not have slept without knowing that.
It is good journalistic practice.
Yeah, exactly.
I phone people up to pretend to be somebody else to try and elicit information from them. And if one of my journalists did that, I'd be dead chuffed with them. Well done, whatever that radio station's called. You are brilliant. You can come and work with me anytime you want.
Do you really think they'd want you? He's ranting again.
Called posterior.
Yes, exactly. OMG, SMS turns 20 this week. Lee won't understand
this. Already?
Yeah, SMSs have turned 20.
Where has the time gone?
What? Sadomasochism's been around a lot longer than that.
whose phone's going?
I bet that's Henry's.
Not mine.
It's mine. Hang on a minute. Hello, my darling. I'm on the radio doing the show. Would you like to say hello to the world? No? Should I call you back then later? Right, thank you. Okie dokie, bye bye.
Love you. You don't say goodbye to me like that.
Oh dear, how embarrassing.
I've known you longer as well.
Why was it always my phone? Anyway, yes, apparently 66.1 trillion messages were sent in 2010, which is roughly 193,000 messages per second.
That's probably just my phone.
Eric, also in the last 20 years, we have these phones that you can put on silent.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
just never found that button.
Was there some relevance to that, Henry?
Yeah, because you just took a phone call.
I think the fact that Matty McConan, yeah, who's dubbed the father of sadomasochism in 1974.
He's onto it.
He's off again.
Will you stop talking when I'm talking? It's about it.
Until you take your bloody lithium.
Yes, exactly.
I want to tell you a true story about this. Uh-oh. When these text messages first came out, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, text messages or sex messages?
Well, sex tests.
Yes,
that's right. It was just like, no, this is the truth, because when I worked, and I'll tell you the newspapers, the Daily Mirror, we had the introduction of them when they first came in on the phone, so we could keep in touch with each other around the offices and stuff like that. And it was really good. But the problem was, with journalists, it just went insane. We went absolutely mad with them, and we were texting everybody and just taking the mickey and everything. And at that time, I was having an affair with a young lady in the office whose first name began with the word C. Right.
This is too much information.
This is very much
too
much.
No, it's not rude. That's not rude.
Right. Well, just get to the end of the shaggy dog story.
Oh, don't you nasty.
Oh, don't you. That's disgusting.
Go on, quick.
Have you gone?
No, we're here.
Oh, right. So anyway, we'd had a bit of a tiff, right?
Yes. So
she was called Christine.
Yeah.
No, we'd had a tiff. We'd fallen out because she was married and I wasn't married at that time. I was quite legitimate.
Oh my
God. She was married. So anyway, I text her saying, look, I'm really sorry we've fallen out. You know that I love you. Would you meet me in the car park?
So you sent it to the editor?
I sent it to the editor, whose name was Chris.
Oh, my word.
What kind of sex text was just a group of seven?
Very good.
Oh, good one.
That's fun then, isn't it?
Yes, we like that one. Okay, serious thing from Minute Boys and Girls, Max Clifford. Does anybody down under know who Max Clifford is?
No.
I think that's a really bad choice.
It's your mind.
No, but I'm dead interested to find out who he is. Please proceed.
Thank you, madam. Max Clifford's been arrested, allegedly connected to sex offences. And it's all part of the investigation that started off with Jimmy Savile, has now spread out into three different groups, which is called the Yew Trees Investigations, which is also included people like Gary Glitter, Freddie Starr, and a whole bunch of other guys. And they are looking at all these nasty things that were going on. And Max Clifford is the latest one, 69 years old. He's the media PR guru of the UK. And I actually phoned round a couple of PR agencies this morning and said, what do you think? And there wasn't one of them who got a nice word to say about the bloke.
Wow.
A good point, though, is that, and it should be clarified.
Well,
that
this has
got nothing to do with the Jimmy Savile case, and the problem is it's going to be linked to it all the time.
Correct.
Incorrectly.
That's right, yeah.
That's right. I mean, the same thing was Dave Lee Travis. And I mean, I have to say that Dave Lee Travis, he came to his garden gate there and made a statement. And he did actually say that there were some incidents a long, long time ago, but nothing to do with the Savile case and nothing to do with children. And I have to say that, you know, this is very serious for Max Clifford, like him or not. And I think a lot of people, you know, don't like him. The fact is that he's issued a denial at the moment. And I think we have to take it at that and really wait for events.
Okay,
Am I being a wet blanket on all
no,
this?
No, no, Lee,
innocent until proven guilty.
That's right.
Absolutely, yeah. I unlike everybody else, only by dense of the fact of what I do for a living, I actually know Max Clifford. I don't know him particularly well, but I know him. And I'm surprised that people say they don't like him. He's a bit arrogant. He's a bit flashy.
That,
he's quite tough.
That was one of the words that was used this morning.
Yeah, well, he is arrogant, but he's a tough, hard-nosed newsman, and he controls a lot of things. What he did say, and this is what a lot of the people who get involved in this spin-off from Jimmy Savile, they're all saying that, in fact, and Max Clifford said the same thing, that in the 70s and the 80s, there was a whole different ball game, a whole different attitude. Now, I'm not defending that
attitude.
Hang on,
Lee, I'm going to do some market research now, because we've got Rach here, and she can probably, she can't slap me too easily, so it's all right. Now, in the 70s and 80s, it has to be said that boys were boys and slightly naughty. So they would walk around and you'd be on top of the pops, Rach, as one of the young girls on there looking at all the bands, and some arrogant person, maybe, allegedly, possibly, would squeeze your bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you be offended?
Well, in the 70s, 80s, that was my... I was 10.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you would be.
you were 10 for 20 years.
Very good.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm still 10 now.
Well, that, yes.
Look, I'm still 10.
Didn't go to the Top of the Pops and Jimmy Savile was on then.
No, thank goodness for that. Mark, off you go.
But can I say, I mean, I think that question maybe hasn't been asked in exactly the correct way, because I think that a lot of people in the 70s and 80s would have been offended about that. I think the thing is that would you have dared to complain? Would you have dared to raise your voice about it? I could imagine that women were troubled by this behaviour for a long, long time, but felt in a way sort of maybe dominated by it all and felt unable to raise their voices. Now that's changed, and I think that's the part that's changed.
I think it's fair to say that like in the 70s and the 80s, in the 70s, like Rachel, I was a bit young, but in the 80s, when I got involved with national newspapers, there was a lot of sexism, and there were a lot of women vying for jobs and were using their sexual allure to get into those jobs. I'm not saying they were using the casting couch or anything, but they were actually displaying themselves in a way which would draw attention to them. Mm. But I know what Mark's saying, but I can't really agree, because in the 80s, one thing that shocked me was the amount of sexual touching that went on in bar rooms, in the offices, in the canteens, and as blokes joked and tried to pretend it was a joke. And it wasn't. All they were doing was copying a feel, and I used to object to that immensely at that time.
Mm. I'll see where you go. Anyway, one spin-off from that was you couldn't get onto Max Clifford's website yesterday. It was so goddamn busy, it crashed. Moving along to the last bit of part one, as we do... One of the things, and this has annoyed me for years, but I'm sad it's Equity because they annoy me as well. Have you ever seen those squashed up credits on the television?
That you they do it here all the time.
Isn't it frustrating?
God, it's annoying. You can't read it for the life of you. Even if you go right up to the telly, put your nose print on the screen, you still can't read it.
My dog used to do that.
Well, anyway.
You know why he was doing it.
The BBC boys and girls have come out and said they're not going to squeeze up the credits anymore because of the fact that the acting union called Equity has whinged about it a bit, and so now they're going to put the whole screen on there, which is great for us old 1, 2, 3, 4. It's good for us old 4 people. Not maybe doesn't matter to Rach, but
it does to me. My eyesight's shot. I think it's great, and if they did it in Australia, I'd be even happier.
Really?
Well, yes.
Okay. So this is my right. We're going to go around the table. So. You've been paid to do a job, right? You mm-hmm. do your job. Why on earth should somebody give you a free advert on the back end of the programme? Rachel?
Well, I used to be on television, actually.
Oh, God.
And if they squeezed up my name because I was, well, I was never given an award, but I should have been. And... if they squeezed up my name, I bet, well, nobody can know that that girl who should have won the award because she was just brilliant. Who was that girl? Let me see what her name is. Oh, no, I can't read it. It's been squished.
Ah, right. Mark.
Well, I mean, I think it's all about branding, quite frankly. And, I mean, you might as well ask why, for instance, is Rembrandt allowed to put his signature on his paintings? Why is Ford or VW allowed to put their motifs and their logos on their cars? And people
well
should
today.
Just go and rip them off. So I think it's about branding. And I think that if these people, want their reputations to be known, because, I mean, I understand that employment in these industries is, you know, very, very fragile, then I think it's part of their portfolio. I don't see any problem about it at all.
God. Henry?
I think Mark is possibly one of the most intelligent people at this table at the moment.
Oh, no!
Thanks very much.
I'm sorry, I'm
this
just
is
an intellectual how to... property lawyer. That's
oh, I ought to be careful then. Yes. I've insulted 3 people and complimented 1 in less than 2 seconds. With regard to credits at the end of a television show, about a year ago, the national broadcaster in Ireland, RTE, were covering Irish people emigrating to Canada and Australia. And a website that I run, irishpirates.com, which has lots of audio and also Bondi Tunes. Sorry, I won't mention Irish Pirates. Bondi Tunes.
Here we go.
They started taking audio from... our interview from our correspondents, and they asked me permission from RTE to do so. And I said, sure, go ahead. And they did. And then it was run on the stage. Actually, it wasn't RTE. It was TV3 ran this, and they squashed up. They said, oh, we'll credit Bondi Choose, and we'll credit you, and we'll credit all these people connected with us. And they squashed it up at the end, and we couldn't see ourselves at all.
That's the end of part one, boys and girls, a postcard from Pop Bread. I'm Eric Wiltshire. See you after the break.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.